Welcome to This Is Your Life with Michael Hyatt, where our goal is to help you win at work and succeed at life. My name is Michelle Cachat. I'm sitting in the studio today with Michael Hyatt. Hey there, Michael.
Hey, Michelle. How are you?
I'm doing well. Today's topic is actually one I've been looking forward to all season because it's all about how we can, practically speaking, increase our energy. I don't know anybody that says, boy, I'm all maxed out on energy. I don't need anymore.
I'm done with that. I've got enough.
Yeah, exactly. So we could all use a little bit more energy to do what we have to do every single day. And hello, I have quite a few responsibilities every day between kids and work, and yep. You do too. So one of the things, though, that I've come to learn as I've gotten older is that energy is a limited resource.
Yes, absolutely limited. And you've got to accept that. And I think it results in two things. One, you've got to manage it.
Okay.
And then I think just in terms of your sort of your presupposition or the way that you think about energy, and this has been a game changer for me, is to realize that energy is something you can actually cause. In other words, you could just kind of drift through life and think, well, I'm low energy or I don't feel so energetic today. Or you can say, no, I'm going to be energetic. Mm-hmm. And it's like the difference between a thermometer and a thermostat.
Okay.
A thermometer... Mm-hmm. Tells you what the temperature is, but a thermostat actually causes the temperature to be whatever it is.
And you get to set it.
And you get to set it.
Which would explain why, in many ways, you have more energy today than you have at other seasons in your life. Because you've taken more control of the amount of energy that you have and how you're stewarding.
I'm very deliberate about the way I manage my energy, and I'm accepting of the fact that I can cause it. So if I wake up in the morning and I'm like, oh, you know, I dread recording these podcasts today, because I know it's going to be a big energy drain. Or I can say, in fact, we were kidding around about this earlier today, or I can say, no, I get to do these podcasts today, and I'm going to bring my full self and be as energetic as I can be in the midst of these podcasts, because I've got something really important I want to share with people.
Which is such good news for those of you who are listening or watching, because you may be juggling a part-time career and a full-time career, or maybe a dream and you're an entrepreneur, but you have a full-time job, or maybe you're just juggling family and your dream, or you're writing a book, whatever it may be, and you feel like you just don't have enough energy to do what you really want to do. So today we're going to start unpacking 10 practical ways that you can engineer more energy into your day. So let's get started, not waste any more time.
Great.
What would be the first practical way?
The first one is get plenty of sleep. The older I get, the more I think this is important.
It is so important.
You know, if you, and you shouldn't have to pick between, you know, diet and fitness and, you know, the kinds of ways you entertain yourself and sleep. But if you had to pick one that is the most important, without question, sleep is the most important. Mm-hmm. Because that's how our body rebuilds itself. Mm-hmm. That's how we rejuvenate. That's how we recharge the battery, so to speak. And so knowing that we had a big day today recording, the most important thing I could do last night was to get a full night's sleep. And so I was very deliberate about what time I went to bed, and I was very deliberate about what time I got up, because I wanted to have at least 7 hours of solid sleep. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to report that I got it.
Good job. I usually get up at 5:30 every day, but because I got to bed a little late last night, I actually set my alarm a little later to make sure I got that same sleep, because I knew it was important.
And it's a different time zone for you too.
Yes,
so in fairness,
absolutely.
You had to allow for that.
So true.
But it's so important that not only do I try to get at least 7 hours sleep every night and 8 if I can get it, but also naps.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm...
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I normally take a 20-minute nap every single day. Today I didn't, because we got a little bit of a late start and I wanted to push through, and I'm feeling great. But that's a great way also to kind of take the edge off the day. And even when I was working in the corporate world as a busy CEO, I would shut my door and tell my assistant to hold my calls, and I would just go in there and, you know, kick back and be quiet. So I didn't always sleep, but I just shut my eyes and control my breathing and just
rest. Yeah, absolutely.
My predecessor, interestingly, was a man by the name of Sam Moore. And when he retired, he was almost 80. He had served the company for 47 years. And I asked him one time what the secret was to his energy and his success. And he said, I take a nap every day.
Oh, that's like the best advice.
And he said, you know, he said, I sit back in my chair and I hold my keys. And he said, when the keys fall out of my hand, that's time to wake up.
I love that. That's so good. I can totally
good
picture
advice.
It. Okay, so some people associate more rest with higher productivity, but I think we underestimate how rest also impacts creativity.
Yes.
Rest
definitely improves your productivity. Mm-hmm. It improves your focus, and it improves your creativity. It improves your ability to handle stress, to cope with all the challenges of life. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you the first thing that usually goes for me is my creativity and focus.
I've noticed the same.
Yeah.
So those who are writers or creating new content or whatever it may be, if you're really at a roadblock, you know, kind of that writer's block, that creativity block, it could be because you're not getting enough rest.
It's true. You know, another interesting thing about rest too is it's really related to weight loss. Sometimes people can't lose weight because they're not getting enough sleep. Mm-hmm. Now, it's kind of counterintuitive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You think, well, you should be up more, moving more, whatever. Mm-hmm. But elite athletes, the reason they're elite athletes and the reason that they're able to put on muscle, the reason they're able to stay lean is because they manage their sleep. And they get 8, 9, some of them 10 hours of sleep a night.
That's great advice. Yeah. So I need to start sleeping more?
That's right.
Excellent.
You have my permission.
All right. So get plenty of rest is that first way to engineer more energy. What would be the second one?
Exercise daily. Now, the reason this is important, not only to stay in shape and give you the kind of stamina and endurance that you need to get through life, but also just for the circulation, to get your blood moving, to oxygenate all the parts of your body, including your brain. And that's what's going to give you the focus, the creativity, and the productivity as well. So even though we had a very busy day today, I met my trainer this morning at 7 a.m. and we worked out for an hour together. We did chest and arms was today. We did a little bit of cardio too. But I don't miss it. If I've got a very busy day, I especially want to work out.
Yes, so true. I find I get my best ideas for books or blog posts or whatever while I'm running or walking.
It's not surprising, is it though? Because
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you got that blood flowing through your mind and you don't want to miss the hormonal bump that you get when you get, you know, the endorphins and the dopamine that fires when you're exercising. And those are mood elevators. So you're going to be in a better mood, which is all automatically going to make you more energetic, more positive, more productive.
Excellent advice. Okay, get plenty of rest, exercise daily. And what would be the third way to engineer more energy?
The third one, and frankly, this is one I need to work at today. I just thought of it, is drink more water.
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
You know, we're mostly water. Like 70% of us is water. You know, 70% or more of the planet is water. Water is critically important, and to stay hydrated is important. It's important for all of our essential bodily functions, whether it's elimination or just, you know, getting oxygen to the various parts of our body. All of that's related to water. So drinking lots of water is very helpful. Sometimes we think we're hungry.
And it's not. We're thirsty.
We're thirsty.
We actually started something new with our family, and my husband and I do this, and now we have all of our children do this as well, at least those living at home. But first thing in the morning, we all have a full glass of water before breakfast.
Yeah, I do that too.
All of us. Just fill it all the way to the top, drain the whole thing before we do anything
else.
Well,
you're never more dehydrated than you are when you wake up, because you've gone the whole night, you've probably eliminated. Is that the correct political term?
Are we allowed to talk about that on the podcast?
I know. Maybe once or twice during the night, depends on your age. I'm not saying, I'm just, you know. But
you've heard.
But you're, that's right. But you're dehydrated. And so to have a full glass of water to start, maybe with a little lemon in it or something, is a good thing.
Yeah, my husband made the comment to my kids the other day. You don't notice it right away, but you feel it around 10.
Yeah.
You know, like 10, totally. 11 in a day if you haven't had that water.
And you start craving food when in reality you just want water. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to stave off hunger pains.
All right, what's another way to be able to get more energy?
Eating high energy foods.
Okay, give me some examples.
Okay, so today, knowing that we have a full day of video shoot, I wanted to make sure that I had enough energy to last the day.
Okay.
So here's what I'm gonna avoid. I'll tell you what I avoid, and then I'm gonna tell you what I eat. I wanna avoid high glycemic carbohydrates, like white bread, frankly any bread, pasta, anything, you know, candy, sugar, any of that kind of stuff is going to spike my blood so that the sugar goes up.
For a short, yeah.
For a very short period of time, and then it's going to crash. And then the trough is going to be worse than before I had that fix. So what I tried to do today was two things. One is I wanted to eat a high protein breakfast. And then secondly, I wanted to eat some healthy fats.
Uh-huh.
So high protein.
Give me an example of what you had today.
I had scrambled eggs
and
chicken sausage.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And then I had a half an avocado.
Excellent.
No bread and full glass of water. Actually, a full glass of beet juice.
That's like, I mean, you're like a rock star breakfast right there. That's amazing.
Well, and then for lunch, you saw what we had for lunch. Uh-huh. You know, we basically had a taco salad, but without the tortilla part
of that. Yeah, that's why I did. I didn't have the tortilla. Yeah. I just had the salad and the protein.
Yep, just the salad, the protein, good veggies, good protein. Mm-hmm. There was some avocado in the form mm-hmm. of guacamole.
Yeah,
so again, the fat, too. You know, which is really great for your mental faculties and all the rest. And just, again, for overall energy.
Absolutely.
You know, so your food is your fuel. And so if you're not eating the right food, you're going to have an energy slump. You're going to be tired. You're going to be not as productive, not as creative, not as focused. All that is so often related to your food.
So in short, we want to avoid white grains, white flour, white sugar.
Processed food.
Any processed food.
Any processed food. And I think...
To eat as clean and whole as you can.
And people that are in business can sometimes slip into this habit of going out for lunch mm-hmm. and eating something that completely destroys their afternoon.
True.
Like ordering lasagna or spaghetti, sometimes even a sandwich. Honestly, that affects me because of the bread that's in the sandwich. It may not affect everybody the same way. But it's not an accident when you feel that mm-hmm. slump. It's directly related to your blood sugar, and you can change that if you just manage what you eat.
How do you feel about having coffee in the afternoon? Do you feel it's okay to...
I think coffee, and I have studied this every possible way.
I know you have.
You know, because there are some people that say it's bad for uh-huh. you because it's fairly acidic and, you know, that causes some damage. And there are other people that argue that it's wonderful for you. Drink as much as you want. And I fall right in the middle. I think coffee in moderation is great. I'm drinking a cup of coffee right now.
And I had mine just a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll have usually a cup or two in the morning, and then I'll have a cup after lunch, and that's it.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, let's go on to number five, the fifth practical way to engineer more energy. What is it?
I think it's taking a good multivitamin or a supplement regimen. And, you know, I've gone through a lot of these, and, you know, there's lots of good ones out there in the marketplace, and we go to Whole Foods and find one. But one that's a good multivitamin, and I take more than a multivitamin. I may take a handful of supplements. Mm-hmm. But there are certain things that I really want to be careful to take. Like I want to make sure that I'm getting an adequate source of minerals. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that I'm getting things like vitamin B mm-hmm. and vitamin D, both of which, if you don't have them, can have an energy drag uh-huh. on you. And I get my blood tested regularly to make sure that my B vitamins and my D vitamins in particular are at healthy levels because that's directly related to energy.
Fabulous. Okay, so far we've talked about 5 of the 10 different ways to engineer more energy into your day. They are 1, get plenty of rest. 2, exercise daily. 3, drink lots of water ongoing throughout the day. 4, eat high energy foods. And 5, take a good multivitamin. We have 5 more to talk about in just a minute. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Has this ever happened to you? You write a list of goals with the best of intentions. You're excited, motivated for a few weeks, and then life gets in the way. You get distracted or discouraged. You stop moving toward what really inspires you. If you want to achieve what matters most, traditional goal setting will only get you so far. What you need is a proven plan. Well, I've got a proven plan, and I'd like to share it with you. I've just released a brand new free video series entitled Design Your Life. And in this 3-part video series, I share my proven system to stop drifting and finally achieve your best year ever. It starts by helping you answer 3 simple but powerful questions that will put you back in the driver's seat. And it shows you how to literally map your entire year on paper so you know how to get where you want to go without getting lost along the way. To get access to Design Your Life, just go to bestyearever.me and enter your email address in the space provided. If you're tired of making goals but not achieving them, don't miss your chance to discover how to stop drifting and start making meaningful progress in your life. Sign up today at bestyearever.me.
Today, we're talking about ways to engineer more energy into your day. And frankly, a very important topic and one close to my heart because I need as much energy as I can possibly get. We've covered five of those. We still have five more to go. So Michael, go ahead. Why don't you take off with the number six?
You know, when you were just talking about that before I get into the last five, mm-hmm. I think for any of us that are trying to create a massive outcome in the world or mm-hmm. impact in the world, I think it's particularly important. Mm. You know, that's not going to just happen. We're not going to have the impact that we want to have. We're not going to have the influence that we want to have if we don't manage our energy. Mm. You know, this is the only vehicle that we have to communicate the message that we've been given to do the work that we've been given to do. And so it's important to manage it for the sake of what we've been called to do.
I so agree. Thanks for making that point. That's excellent.
Number six, I would say feed your brain.
And this is different from eating the right foods?
Yes, this is different. And when I say feed, I'm using it as a metaphor. But I'm talking about consume stuff that's mentally stimulating. So for me, that's what this looks like is when I'm working out Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, not with my trainer, but on my own doing cardio, I'm listening to either audiobooks or I'm listening to podcasts.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of killing two birds with one stone, mm-hmm. right? So I'm working out on the one hand and I'm feeding my brain on the other hand. So
I always say when I do that, it actually, the information sticks more as well. So
yes.
Not only am I feeding myself, but I retain it.
Well, it's kind of like this for me, and that's a really good point you're making. You know, if I just sit down to read, I don't know if it's because I'm a little bit ADD or something, but the fact that when I'm exercising, I'm doing a little something, mm-hmm. you know, it gives me something to do with my nervous energy and my body yes. so that I can stay focused on mm-hmm. what it is I'm listening to. So I don't care if it's podcasts or books, but to be able to really intentionally and strategically fill your mind with good content that stimulates your creativity and really helps you think the right kinds of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to just be nonfiction.
Oh, I so agree. I actually read nonfiction the first half of the day, and by the end of the day, I always read fiction.
Oh, that's good. I don't read, I do a thing like that, but not on the daily basis. So what I've started doing is I read fiction on the weekends.
Oh, nice.
Because I have this rule now that I can't work on the weekends. Mm-hmm. And so in order to keep myself occupied and to keep me out of everybody else's hair or talking business, I read novels. So right now, for example, I just started this amazing novel.
Okay, what is it? I need to know.
It's called The Passage by Justin, I'm not sure you pronounce it Cronin or Cronin,
okay.
C-R-O-N-I-N.
Okay.
And a friend of mine said, I know you love Stephen King, which I do. And he said, I know you said at one point that The Stand by Stephen King was your favorite novel of all uh-huh. time. And I'm not sure if it's really my favorite novel, but it's definitely in the top five.
Okay.
But it's like 1,000 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
The Passage is like that. It's one of these post-apocalyptic, amazing, epic novels. So well written. But I mean, I get energetic just talking mm-hmm. about it.
It's like crack. It's novel like crack for you.
Yeah, and so I can't wait to get in the car. Now, I don't read fiction during the week. I'm usually reading nonfiction.
Okay.
So I can't wait till this weekend to pick it back up and continue reading. But fiction does something different for you than nonfiction.
It absolutely does.
But both of them, I think, are related to energy, creativity, mm-hmm. productivity, and focus.
Well, I actually just had a conversation about this with my publisher the other day, my editor. And she was saying, as a writer, reading both is so critical for being able to write good nonfiction books. You need to have the narrative story ability as well as nonfiction. So even as an author or blog writer, whatever, reading both genres is important, both types.
You know, this is far afield from energy, but if you want to become a better writer, become a more voracious reader.
Oh, so true.
People that read a lot, I mean, you enhance your vocabulary, your way of expressing yourself, you're exposed to new thoughts, new ideas, new locations, all that could be very helpful.
Well, and it really does tie into energy because once you start opening your mind and everything to all those different possibilities, you do feel that kind of extra energy. Okay, feed your brain. What would be next?
The next one would be to maintain a positive attitude.
Okay.
And so that's number seven. Now, here's why that's important. I mean, it's kind of like self-evident, but people that have a positive attitude are more energetic.
Mm-hmm.
When you're negative, it's like having a hole in your boat. You know, it's just gonna fill up with water and you're gonna capsize and you're gonna drown and it's gonna be terrible. But did I go too far with that?
Maybe.
I was thinking back in the world of novels. But yeah, a positive attitude does contribute to higher energy, uh-huh. but it takes deliberate, intentional thought. Like I caught myself this morning when I got up, mm-hmm. I'm thinking to myself, wow, we've got a big day of shooting mm-hmm. today. And so
you can immediately go to overwhelm that fast.
Yeah, go that fast. And so I detected, you know, like beep, beep, beep. I'm detecting.
Wait. Do that again.
I can't do it again. I'm detecting this negative thought that's in the house of my head. Uh-huh. And I'm thinking I can either live with that and allow it to take root and amplify it, and I can go in a downward spiral fast.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, I have the same tendency to get negative as anybody else does, mm-hmm. but I've learned to be aware of my thoughts, and when I have that negative thought, to reframe it. Mm-hmm. And so I think I told you earlier before when we were talking that, you know, I can say I have to, mm-hmm. you know, do a full day of shooting, or I get to.
Changes everything.
It changes. I mean,
how many people get to do this?
We did an episode on this, didn't we?
Yeah, we did.
Okay.
But I mean, how many people get to do this?
We I know, exactly.
And it's not just the podcast. There's so many other things we get to wake up and do every day.
I know.
And we view it as, gosh, look at how lucky I am. I get to do this.
Yeah.
It changes how you feel about the whole thing.
And it does. And one of the things I've noticed is that when I take on any challenge and I'm feeling positive or confident, it's easy, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But if you're feeling negative or you're feeling overwhelmed or you're feeling you know, just discouraged, then it really affects mm-hmm. not only your energy, but your ability to complete the task. Mm-hmm. And it becomes much harder than it needs to be.
It's like walking through sludge.
Yes.
I mean, it just becomes so much harder.
Like, I've never done that, but that I can imagine.
No. Actually, neither have I. But I can imagine. All right. So number 6, feed your brain. Number 7, maintain a positive attitude. So important. What's number 8?
This one's hugely important. We just kind of touched on it, but it's watch your mouth.
Mm-hmm. Well, it fits so well with attitude, because when our attitude, which is what we think isn't right, it almost always spills out our mouth.
It does. And if you
and vice versa.
Exactly. And if you listen carefully to people's language, our language betrays our thinking. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so when our thinking is negative, our words are going to be negative. And mm-hmm. so it was actually this whole thing about I have to, I get to. It was Gail. I didn't catch it myself. Mm-hmm. But she caught it. She listened to my language when I said that, and she said, whoa, stop. Because she and I both are very alert to this.
It was kind of like, what? What did you just say?
Yeah, what did you say? She said, I want you to restate that, because I know that's not the case. Uh-huh. But the problem is that our thinking is powerful. Our words are even more powerful.
Yeah, they are.
Because this is the first way that our thinking begins to give itself expression. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so powerful that God created the worlds by speaking them into existence.
True.
That's what the Bible says. I mean, uh-huh. However you believe that. But the word is very, very powerful. And you think of anything that gets created. I don't care if it's a book, it's a piece of art, it's the building we're sitting in. It begins with a verbal exchange mm-hmm. with somebody. It's how we give shape to thinking and begin to make it reality. So to take charge of our words and be very deliberate, I'm not saying being paranoid, but be very deliberate with mm-hmm. our speech.
Well, it's this whole idea of mottos or mantras
yeah.
that becomes so powerful.
Exactly.
And we do this on taglines and all this kind of stuff. But there's a reason why our culture
yep.
Gravitates towards mottos and mantras. It's because they carry power.
Well, I've shared this one that I use. I call it an affirmation. But whenever I speak, I have a list of affirmations uh-huh. that I go through. Not because I'm trying to you know, say something that's not true and in a wishful way, kind of hoping that it is. Mm-hmm. But I see affirmations as speaking the truth about things the way things are.
Okay.
So, for example, I get nervous before I speak.
I
right?
do too.
And so, you know, I might feel my hands getting a little moist or a little cold, you know, mm-hmm. or a little bit of the stomach flutters or whatever. And I used to say to myself, oh my gosh, I'm getting nervous. And then it would kind of cascade into this downward spiral.
The minute you say, I'm getting nervous, it multiplies like 10 times.
But now, and directly apropos to this whole discussion about energy, now I say to myself, and this is a mantra or affirmation that I use, I say, this is how my body prepares itself for peak performance.
Mm, I like that.
And so when I get those feelings, I go, okay.
Here we go.
We're tuning up. Mm-hmm. We're getting ready for peak performance. This is how my body does it. Now all of a sudden, I'm in a place of energy. Leaning forward, excited about what I'm going to do, instead of dreading it. Like, oh my gosh, it's a case of the nerves. Will I survive? What will they think of me? It's got to go the other direction.
Well, when I coach people who are speaking, because the the thing they all say is, I'm so nervous. I'm so nervous. And I tell them, I want you to scratch that from your vocabulary and exchange it with, I'm so excited.
Yeah.
Just, I'm so excited. I get to do this. I'm so excited. And even though you don't feel it, maybe the first time you say it, maybe you don't feel it the second or third time you say it, the more that you say, I'm so excited, it reframes the whole thing.
It does it. I think of it like, well, let me tell a story. I used to do computer programming.
Okay. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah. So I was never like world-class computer programmer, but I did it commercially and got paid to do it. And your words are a little bit like a computer program. And so you can program how you feel by what you say. Now, like you said, initially, your body's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, you're a big liar.
But the more
you're not excited.
But the more you say it, the more you can program yourself. And so that now, for example, when I feel those feelings of nervousness before I speak, and I say, you know, this is the way my body prepares itself for peak performance, then I really believe that. And my body responds accordingly. Mm-hmm. So I program my physiology to respond to my verbal commands.
And I've noticed the same thing. The more that I say I'm so excited, it's much faster now how my emotions catch up with what I'm saying.
That's
okay.
Good.
So wash your mouth. What would be the ninth way to engineer more energy?
This is going to be controversial.
Okay.
Avoid energy depleting people.
Okay,
you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. And that may be controversial for some. Some people just applauded you because they're like, finally, I have permission.
Well,
now, if you're married to that person, you may not be able to avoid
them. That may be tougher. We could do a whole episode on that. You know, you may not be able to avoid these people altogether, but you can certainly minimize your time with them. There are some people out there that don't come with batteries, you know, and they suck all their energy off the people around them because they don't have the ability to regenerate themselves. They don't have the ability to generate their own energy. And so they suck energy from everybody they're around, and they can suck the life out of you if you're not careful. I'm not saying those people don't need help, but I'm just not called to help those people. And when I hang around.
And there's the right time, too.
There's
some
the right
of it's
time.
Just timing.
Yep.
Like if you're getting ready to do a big shoot, that may not be the day to have breakfast with them right before you do a big project.
That's right. You gotta be thoughtful about them. I heard somebody describe them once as energy vampires.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and they can kind of be that way, too. And you know who we're talking
not
about.
Not that anybody listening is one of those, but.
So I really do try to minimize my time. There are certain people that I just know that when you meet with them, they're just like a stew of negativity.
Yes.
And they don't really actually want help. Not, I'm not talking about everybody, but I mean, some of these people don't want help because they get their significance from having all this drama and being negative and nothing's ever going well. And I'm exhausted by the time I listen to all that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, because we're working all the time to stay on top of our attitude and our thought process.
Right.
So when we have to fight not only ours, but then somebody else's, it's like, it's too much.
And I will try to be helpful to those people and they can read my blog or listen to podcasts or whatever. But I would just ask people that are listening to this today to ask themselves whether or not they're that kind of person.
Okay.
Are they a person who's energy depleting? Because here's what's going to happen. If you're a person who drains energy from other people, you're going to find yourself very lonely because people don't want to be around you. One of the most energetic people that I know of, and you know him too, is Robert Smith. Robert Smith is a bundle of energy. TheRobertD.com on the internet. But he's one of those people that when I'm with him, I think I glow for like 48 hours.
Doesn't it just make you want to spend time with that kind of person?
It does.
I love it.
And I think energetic people draw people to them. And this is why we've done an episode on smiling, of all things. Because when you smile, you draw people to you. It energizes people. And so we want to be those kind of people, and we want to avoid the kind of people that are energy depleting.
Such great advice. Okay, let's move on to the last one. We're almost out of time. What would be the final way to engineer more energy?
Yeah, this is to connect with God. Mm-hmm. Now, not everybody listening to this will share my faith perspective, but all I can speak about is what I know. And so for me, the source of all energy is the Creator himself. And so I want to be connected to him, not for the sake of energy, but for the sake of the relationship. But a natural side effect of that is when I'm connected to my Creator and when I'm in alignment with him, then I'm naturally going to be fulfilling my best purpose. I'm going to be more energetic. I'm going to have more strength and a kind of energy and strength that comes from outside of myself. So to me, that's really important, and to do that on a daily basis in a real practical way. So for me, that looks like reading the Bible, praying, mm-hmm. you know, and for other people, it may be other things, people that may want to meditate or whatever. But for me, that's a practical way that I connect with God and kind of get plugged into the power source.
Mm-hmm. And kind of, it fuels you through the day.
It does.
Absolutely. Yep. All right. As we wrap up, I have one more question for you, because there's some people that feel like they were just born with less energy than another person. Do you think there's any validity to us having different kind of baseline energy levels, but can these ways still apply regardless of where you land?
I think there probably is. I think there are people who are naturally more energetic. You know, they were that way from the womb, so to speak. But I do think that all these things can raise our level of energy. I'm not as energetic as Robert Smith. You know, he's like 10x of me.
But heaven help us.
But he's just naturally that way. Like Tony Robbins is another one. For Tony to be able to speak for 10 hours mm-hmm. with one break is extraordinary. And I promise you, he's as energetic at the end of that as he is at the beginning. Now, I know that Tony believes, and I probably learned it from him, that energy is a cause thing. And Tony also manages all that other mm-hmm. stuff, which now enables him to be more energetic. But I think naturally he has a higher level of energy than I would have. But that doesn't mean I can't move the needle
Absolutely.
Wherever I am and be more energetic than I would otherwise.
And as we talked about at the beginning, it's all about stewarding what we have and using it to the very best ability that we have.
Yep.
Well, again, today we talked about 10 practical ways you can engineer more energy into your day. They are, just to recap, get plenty of rest. 2, exercise daily. 3, drink lots of water. 4, eat high energy foods. 5, take a good multivitamin. 6, feed your brain. 7, maintain a positive attitude. 8, watch your mouth. 9, avoid energy depleting people. And 10, connect with God. Fabulous content today. It's been so fun to go through these practical ways. If you enjoyed today's episode, you can get the show notes and the full transcript at michaelhyatt.com. If you'd like to watch the video, you can also find that at his website as well. But before you go, do us a favor and make sure that you take about 30 seconds to head over to iTunes, rate the podcast. You can leave a comment as well, but it is so important. It helps us to get this material into the hands of the people that need it. Well, Michael, do you have any final thoughts for today?
Yeah, I would say for the person listening to this, determine today that you're going to take some of these steps and affect your energy level. And again, to kind of end with where we started, decide you're going to be a thermostat, not a thermometer, and you're going to determine what your energy level mm-hmm. is today. Go into your meetings, go into your encounters with other people, be more energetic, be a source of energy, and just see what that does to your relationships, what that does to the outcomes that you're producing in the world.
Thank you, Michael. Okay, you guys have some homework. Put it to practice at home. You'll see the results. Thank you again for joining us today. And remember, your life, your one and only life, is a gift. Now go make it count.